Welcome into the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Glad you guys could be with us here today. It's going to be a jam-packed show, dude. We got a lot to get to. We've only got 3 hours to get to it. It is a three-interview Wednesday. It's Wednesday, correct? We're going to have Vic Lombardi, Altitude's own Vic Lombardi, on to talk with us today about a little bit of everything. Nuggets, Avs. Also, he was pretty vocal on Twitter about transfer portal stuff, NIL stuff, and I want to talk to him about that because, coincidentally, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is which is worse for college sports, NIL, transfer portal, or they're good for college sports. So there are options there that you can check out. So we're going to have Vic on in this hour. We're going to have Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, join us in the 12 o'clock hour. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts there. Hey, did you see Primetime sporting the cowboy hat now? You think that was Mark Johnson's doing? How much do you think Mark had to do with Primetime's new attire? That is certainly an important question that I'll get to. Kyle Fredrickson will join me as well. Always look forward to his insight because, well, Jared Bednar just signed a three-year contract extension. That's big news. That's great news. Okay, let's elephant in the room here. We all know it. I'm not the most knowledgeable. I'm not stopping there. Most knowledgeable hockey guy in the history of the world. I think that's fair to say. I enjoy it. I get more into it in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm probably more of a bandwagoner kind of guy when it comes to hockey. But I will say this. Jared Bednar, of all the coaches in Colorado, maybe of all the coaches ever in the history of Colorado, he's my favorite to listen to. I like his post-game stuff. I think it's brutal honesty. I like his interviews that he does on various radio shows and television programs. So I'm actually a bigger Jared Bednar fan than I am of the Colorado Avalanche. And it's not that I'm not a fan of the Avalanche. You know, we get texts all the time. Brady, why don't you talk hockey more? What do you say? What do you say here? I mean, Angel, you and I have got to get better at this because I don't know a lot about hockey. I know the mission is to score goals, right? I know that. But the rules and stuff are definitely harder for me to grasp than basketball, football, baseball, all that stuff. Although baseball now with the new rules is even more difficult. But
I agree. I like watching hockey. I like watching the Avs. I've gone to a couple UNC club hockey games over the years, but I couldn't tell you how the rules of the game work. I don't understand offsides. Well, yeah. I don't understand the zones, line shifts. What is a penalty? What isn't a penalty? What merits a penalty box? Or it's a lot that I don't know. Yeah. But I do enjoy watching it, and I will get into it if I'm watching the full game.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I enjoy the game. It's fun for me. I always like. I don't know what basketball just makes more sense to me as far as, you know, even if a team doesn't score on this possession, there's still a story of each possession, a turnover or a bad shot or whatever. To me, it's just easier to grasp. Hockey, I get it. There's all those things, turnovers, all that stuff happens. It's just the one-on-one in basketball. Football, even if a touchdown doesn't happen on every drive, there's still a storyline. There's still a running back was running really well, and then maybe a fumble or an interception, or they just went three and out, couldn't get third and inches. Like, those kind of things all make sense. Baseball, again, you kind of get. So, yeah, I like hockey. I just want to put that out there. People have been asking lately, you know, why aren't we talking more Eagles and Avalanche and stuff like that? I mean, I talk a lot, more than just Broncos, Nuggets, and Rockies. Of course, I'm hitting college sports constantly. I'll tell you this. I don't think there's any station in Denver that's talking as much college sports as this show. Right?
Probably not.
Probably not. Even
and
with
if they do, it's for like 2 seconds.
It's 2 seconds, and it's like, oh, they won.
Oh, did you hear about what CSU did? Oh, yeah, that was cool. All right, Broncos.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, we'll do our best here, but we got a lot to fill the time here. We certainly do. But
yeah,
we'll
like,
talk hockey.
We'd like to talk about hockey. We don't know enough about it to sound
educated.
Yeah, educated, smart. Well, we don't want to get ourselves, oh, the Avs, yeah, they're swinging that stick around.
Yeah,
they're just,
the twirly do there. You know, they got a twirly do the other way.
Yeah, the puck went that way, but I think it's supposed to, I mean, the pass was, it looked good. We don't know what we're talking about.
I used to, texters are probably already filling this one up. Well, you don't know what you're talking about with the other stuff. What stops you with the Avs? It's probably true. Hey, I know what I'm talking about.
I'd feel more comfortable talking about hockey if I understood it.
Exactly.
Most avid fans will.
Well, do they play tonight?
The Avs?
Yeah.
Yes.
What time?
I want to say 6. I don't know who they're playing. They're playing another team in the NHL.
I got into the playoffs last year. It was fun.
I always get into the Avs when they're
fun.
In the playoffs.
It is fun.
Like the last 3 summers, it's been Nuggets, Avs in the playoffs. That's so much fun to watch, but I just don't know the rules.
Well, maybe we can
learn them
together.
Offsides?
What is
icing?
That?
What is?
Well, icing's what you put on cake.
True.
Yeah.
The Avs play the Penguins tonight
at
6 on TNT.
They're gonna murder them. They're gonna murder them.
The Penguins are really good.
Yeah, but the Avs are better. The Avs are 41 wins. Penguins are 34 wins. Oh man, Avs are gonna kill them. Crosby
and
going down.
Their point spreads don't make sense to me. Because it's not like a point. It's -160.
Yeah, I don't.
That's too much for my betting mind.
I don't like in hockey. Listen, here's things that turn me off in sports. When it's just clunky. Did you win or did you lose? Now, in hockey, it's not always that cut and dry. Did you win? Okay. Did you lose? You lost. But you forced overtime, so you get a point. Does that happen in the NBA?
Do the points also come from how many goals you scored?
No, the points are just win, loss, overtime, loss, or win, right? Yeah. I don't like that you're given a point for overtime. I don't understand. Why not just do records? What's the point of points? It doesn't make any sense to me.
A win is worth 2 points.
There you go.
A regulation loss will result in a team not earning any points from the game.
Correct.
If a team loses in overtime or a shootout, they will receive 1 point.
Yes. They don't get an extra point for winning in an overtime, though, right? So no. If you're bad, you could be bad and force overtime, just force overtime and you get a consolation prize for a regular season game.
There's the difference between points versus goals.
Yes.
Weird because in baseball, you don't call them points. They're runs.
They're runs, but you don't get any, let's say you force extra innings, you don't get an extra point on your record that's going to help you in the standings if you force extra innings. You don't want to encourage that. I guess you want to encourage overtime in hockey. You want to encourage that? But yes, in hockey, it's all about the points. It's not about the win-loss thing. I guess it's important, but it's about points. So for the Avs, they have 88 points right now. They're 2 points behind Minnesota and Dallas. That's one of the things. I was actually a bigger hockey fan in the 90s. As a kid, Joe Sakic was a hero to all of us. Patrick Waugh, Peter Forsberg, Adam Foote. All of these guys were great legends of Colorado. But then what happened is the NHL went on 2 lockouts in 10 years. What, in the 2000s or so? Two lockouts in 2000, I don't know, whatever, to 2010. And I wasn't a diehard hockey guy then, but I still paid more attention. But yes, for 3 hours a day here, we fill the time with Broncos talk, with Nuggets talk, with Rockies talk, with college sports talk. I mean, again, I put a lot of work into this show and then going out and watching practices, spring football for CSUs this Saturday. I'll be out there. All of those things that help us fill time. So yeah, hockey's a blind spot. But you know what? Hooligans, we'll learn together. But I'll tell you this. Jared Bednar is the real freaking deal. I mean, you look at what he did. That story is so phenomenal to me because the Avs, Joe Sakic hired Patrick Waugh, back in 2013, 14, something like that. And that was whoa, John Elway move on steroids. Joe Sakic is the GM and Patrick Waugh is the coach. 2 legends are now running the show for the Avs. And you thought, this is a match made in heaven. First year in, the Avs make the playoffs with Patrick Waugh. After that, everything went to hell for him. So, and then he quit, or they've moved on. They, peacefully parted ways or not peacefully, whatever. And he did that in August, dude. August of like 2016. So they were scrambling trying to find a coach. And they get this Jared Bednar. Jared was, he never coached in the NFL. And then suddenly you hire this guy and it's like, okay, I guess we'll see. Well, they were terrible his first year. Just awful. They finished seventh in the Central. They missed the playoffs. And you're thinking, oh, this isn't going to last. This was a failed experiment. Joe Sakic isn't in trouble. This is what's going to happen here. Well, then they were a playoff team from that point on. You know, the next year, they finished fourth in the Central. They lost in the first round. The year after that, they were starting to become like, oh, this is a decent team here. You know, 90 points that season, they lost in the second round. Then the next year, they lost in the second round. It was like George Karl, but a step up. They lost in the second round 3 years in a row. And then finally, of course, last year, they get the Stanley Cup. And they've won like six or seven in a row now. And Jared Bednar signed a contract extension with the Avs. So congratulations to him. That's one you want to lock up. And I'm telling you, man, the contract's going to be just shy of $5 million per season when the extension kicks in with the Avs. But this is the kind of guy, if they find a way, and I'm not even saying win the Stanley Cup. If the Avs go deep into the playoffs, like, and when I say deep into the playoffs, I usually mean stretch out the second round. Some people would say deep in the playoffs means you're going to the Western Conference Finals. But if he gets deep into the second round, even based on all the injuries we've seen with this team, I think that's something pretty special. My expectation for the Avs right now is not to win a Stanley Cup because of everything they've gone through. But Bednar would not say that. He'd say, no, that's our expectation is to win a Stanley Cup. Doesn't matter. This guy goes down, it's this guy. That guy goes down, we got to find somebody else that can be there. And again, here's my hockey knowledge here. I do know one thing. Georgiev has been a big pickup for the Avs. That was kind of a weak spot. Dare I say this? He's kind of helped this team stay above water in this stretch of, you know, when they had all the injuries, when they were really in a tough spot. He was kind of the one constant for them. And now they're getting healthy, starting slowly but surely getting healthy. Here's the text. Here's the text coming in. An overtime win in hockey goes in the overall win column. John Sears. Yeah. Overtime win. Because they don't give you any extra. It's just a win. You win in regulation. You win in overtime. It's just a win. But you get 2 points for that still. You're getting there. My knowledge of hockey.
Can you get 3 points?
No. You cannot get 3 points. Just two. Two is the most you can get.
Two is the most you can get.
Yeah.
But an overtime win is only worth one?
It's just part of the win. It's just two. And you're punished for going to overtime if you win.
You should be getting three points.
You're rewarded for overtime if you lose.
But it's two because you're subbing out the one for the other one.
It's just a win.
See, why we got to do all this math?
That's what I'm saying, man. This is what turns me off. Like if basketball's flirting with this little play-in tournament thing, they're wanting to not play in, but mid-season play. I don't like gimmicky stuff. It's silly to me. It's why I've never really been a big fan of bowl season in college football. I like the playoffs. And I like when my local teams make it an extra game, and that's neato, but it's still weird to me. You won six games. Great. You get to play in a postseason game. What? You won half of your games, and you're in some kind of a bowl game? I get it. You make money. So whatever. And I've always said this, take advantage of it while it's there. But, yeah, that's always been kind of one of my things with hockey is the point system and stuff. But that, you know, that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is what we just talked about. Jared Bednar, congratulations to you. That's a huge deal. I want that guy to be involved. He is cool, calm, and collected, man, but he tells it like it is. So I'm a big fan of Jared Bednar. The bad, MLB making a small change to their pitch clock rules. They sent out a memo. We're getting close to the regular season, dude. But they're making a slight change to its new pitch clock rules, but will not alter the most significant portions of the mandates that have shaved 25 minutes off game times this spring, which is a good thing. The document, the fifth of what a source called clarification memos, sent by the league this spring, was distributed Wednesday after players on the joint competition committee between the MLB Players Association and MLB requested various changes earlier in the week. So, here's what it is. They'll continue with the parameters of the pitch clock that players have been using all spring, 15 seconds with the bases empty and 20 seconds with the runners on base, plus the hitter needing to be alert in the batter's box with 8 seconds remaining. Here's what they're saying. Here's what Rob Manfred said. On one hand, we are prepared to make adjustments based on input. On the other hand, we want to give it a chance to see how it plays out exactly. So pitch clock violations have dipped over the first month of spring training, according to the memo. So they're basically saying potential for attempts, like if, again, for the umps to not be so strict. That's what I got from this memo, is like maybe the umps aren't going to be as strict with the clock. I don't know. The memo said a lot without saying anything. Here's one of the notes. Malfunctions of the PitchCom units that allow the pitcher and catcher to communicate electronically. Players must immediately inform umpires who can grant time and stop the ticking clock. What if your PitchCom thing's not really out? You just need more time. And you just say, no reception. I'm going in a tunnel. I mean, the PitchCom, I don't know, dude. That's one of them. New standards will be enforced for bat boys and bat girls whose ability to quickly retrieve equipment and will help efforts to speed up the game, according to the memo. The league will evaluate the performance of bat boys and bat girls and can ask teams to replace them if their performance is considered substandard.
Oh.
This just in, the Rockies in the first round of the MLB draft are taking Billy, third grader, bat boy. Now, I get it. They're not third graders, but
I've seen some dogs do it.
Train some dogs, man.
I mean, it's just a big stick on the ground. Hey, fetch.
Here's another one. On brushback pitches and big swings, which either knock equipment out of place or land a player splayed out on the ground, umpires will delay the start of the clock, and if the clock operator starts it early, have the ability to wave off the timer. I don't want to be an ump.
Seems like a lot of communications going on between different people. We're almost playing telephone with baseball now.
I don't know, man. It's just...
You got the clock operator talking to the ump. The ump's talking to him. The pitcher's talking to the catcher with a robot in their head or something. And then there's a clock in the background that's really big. You can't miss it. Can the batter see it? Or is there like another one in the outfield that they can look at?
The batters can see it too, I think. That there's one up where they can see and then the pitcher can see. And like I said, dude, in theory it's a great idea, but I don't know.
I haven't watched enough spring training baseball to really see the impact of it. So probably wait till next week and then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so check this one out. In situations where pitchers find themselves away from the mound, whether to cover first base or back up throws to home or third base in foul territory, the 30-second between batter's clock will be delayed. It restarts when the pitcher making a play at first is back on the infield grass and one backing plays up in fair territory. Huh? That's
so
what I'm
like,
saying.
If
when
pitcher
it gets
goes
this
off the mound, the clock operator is watching what the pitcher's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he decides, okay, 30 seconds starts now, that's when it starts.
You're going to need more umps, dude.
You're going to have to communicate that to the players on the field while they're trying to pay attention to the action. You know, maybe a ball's out in outfield or whatever.
Don't know how they're going
to
do it.
Now the umps say, hey, pitcher, get back to the mound or your clock starts.
I guess they're doing it, but I don't know how. I mean, do you add another umpire?
Where do you put him?
Who's watching everything? I don't know.
There's already, what, three in the infield?
Yeah. I don't know. Eastside Chris, good to hear Eastside Chris making an appearance. We hadn't heard from you in a while. It's a Hall of Famer right there. He's not the good, the bad, the ugly. Eastside Chris, we're just happy to
Susan
have you.
Susan and Cheryl on a smoke break.
Susan and Cheryl on a smoke break. That's fine. That's typical. Brady, the
we
guys.
We applaud you, Eastside Chris.
We applaud you. Brady's the guys this morning said Russ had arthroscopic surgery. Wow, that's a tough one. No details from team three. Sean's anonymous donor system is working. So apparently the knee's been bugging him for a while, huh? That was what it was last year. Figured it out.
Was it last year? Because the report says back to like 2019.
Well, they were probably just injecting him with stuff, and that we just didn't know.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
well, go get
their
it fixed.
Man.
Get it fixed up. Get that knee ready to go. We got a Super Bowl to win, bros. We got to get after it. It's time. Figure out the wide receiver situation here. Cleveland's heating up, but they don't have a first round. That story's heating up, but they don't have a first-round pick to give for Jerry Jeudy. All right, a lot of stuff to unpack. The ugly I didn't even get to. John Tonjay has entered the transfer portal. Colorado State, Rams basketball player. Good player. I think probably for the most part of the season, you know, he didn't have quite the season he wanted, but I think he came on there late. What does that mean for Isaiah Stevens going forward? That's the biggest question for Colorado State. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. He said Chris had to go back to work. All right, you're going back to work. Well, at least you get time to text. That's good. Just tell him you're doing a work project. You're analyzing things. All right. We got a lot to get to. Wyoming, this situation is getting pretty ugly. We had Cody Tucker on yesterday. If you missed that interview, check it out at 1310kfk.com or thewholeshow.com. We got three scholarship players right now. Three players. Graham E.K. transferred yesterday, or he entered the transfer portal. Got the news, but what, like an hour or two before Jeff Linder's dad's funeral. So I'm feeling for the guy. I am. Jeff Linder, I don't have the quote in front of me, Angel, but he said something like, hey, when I got here during the COVID season, we had very little guys on scholarship, and then we filled it up, and we ended up getting into March Madness. That was only a year ago, dude. A year ago, the Cowboys made it to the play-in, the first round or whatever, the first four. They were in March Madness. And now here we are. They were the worst team in the Mountain West Conference. Graham E.K. didn't play all season. And now Graham is gone. And we'll see where he goes. I saw Lovering, the CU big man. He entered the transfer portal as well. Although I also heard CSU tried to recruit him hard. Stuff to think about. 27 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
31 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Tough times for the Wyoming Cowboys basketball program. Jeff Linder talked a little bit about it. We have quotes here at 7220sports.com from Jeff. And, of course, yesterday, his father, Bruce Linder, well, of course, we know he died March 8th. His funeral was yesterday. And Jeff, of course, and his family, and we know our guy Cody was out there for that. Well, we got the news, you know, an hour or so before that their big one, Graham E.K., had entered the transfer portal. And here's what Jeff Linder had to say about all of the guys leaving. Was it nine now? Are we up to nine players have entered the portal from Wyoming? And it's a lot. I mean, this isn't good. It's... Yeah, if you're a Wyoming Cowboy basketball fan, you're sweating right now. Here he said, Jeff Linder said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. I took over this program the week COVID shut down the country in March 2020 with four returning players, and 2 years later, we were dancing our way to the NCAA tournament. New challenges, transfer portal and NIL, have presented themselves in the last 12 months that have changed the landscape of college basketball. The new landscape isn't changing anytime soon, and we must embrace change. As we embrace change, I hope that the state of Wyoming and the passionate fans who wear the brown and gold will embrace the young men who will stay and ride for the brand. He said there will be a lot of new faces next season across college basketball, and there will be a lot of new faces playing for the Cowboys in the arena auditorium. The returning players and the new faces will play with a passion and pride that will make you proud. My players know that one of the four things that they are held accountable to every day is what their response is. As a head coach, I have never experienced a season like this. I have learned a great deal over the last 12 months and will be better for it. My response will embrace the changes that have impacted the program without sacrificing the standards that have allowed my teams to be successful and what will make us successful as we move forward. As we move forward as a program, I want to wish all the best to the players who have chosen to transfer and are grateful for the time they spent here. Do you think Jeff Linder now, I mean, everything that we're hearing, and, you know, I know Jeff a little bit. I've obviously interviewed him on this show several times. I've talked to him in person a couple of times. You know, I like him a lot, actually. I'm a big Jeff Linder fan. But he's probably a hard, kind of an old school hard coach. He gets after guys. And we talked to Cody a lot yesterday about, you know, how Craig Bohl, the football coach for Wyoming, had to make some changes. How he's really trying to embrace all of this and work with these student athletes a little bit better. Is Jeff Linder going to have to take a long look at his process, or was that statement more of, hey, this is what we want. These are our standards. You got to be able to take it. And if you can't, go somewhere else. Listen, Wyoming, Angel, Wyoming's not like a hotbed. You know, you don't think if you're a stud basketball player, yeah, I want to go play in Wyoming. So it's already not, we talk about beacons. We were talking a lot about that the other day. It's not a big beacon for Wyoming basketball. But if you make it more difficult, you know, if you have a coach that pushes too hard in this day and age, I mean, I'm not saying not every player can take it. Some players can take it. But you're re-recruiting all day. Throughout the season, throughout practice, in the off season, you are constantly working with your guys. And not only are you looking outward and trying to find other guys and watch and scouting and studying film of high school guys and transfers and junior college kids, you're trying to re-recruit inside the season. How I handle you in a certain game might make your decision right then and there. If I bench you because you're not putting out the effort, you might leave. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is up, and it's which is worse for college sports, NIL or transfer portal, or do you just think, no, it's good for college sports? And see, if it were me, I would click it's good for college sports. It is. But there needs to be tighter restrictions on this. This is ridiculous, man. I'm saying it right now. What we're seeing with the transfer portal, because I'm just paying attention locally. Like, what? John Tonjay. Dude, I'm shocked by that. He's got a COVID year. He's going to transfer out. I'd be shocked if Isaiah does, but Isaiah's so good that he probably has a lot of options. Be a heartbreaker, though. But which is worse? If you're on that camp that doesn't like either of these, which one's worse? Would you say, let's say you are going, I don't know where you sit on this, Angel. Are you good with this? Do you like the NIL and transfer stuff?
I like the NIL stuff. I like the opportunity that these student athletes can make money off of themselves. I wish there was a cap on it. I wish there was some limitations on it, because I think it is very easily abused, or there's no set rules for how much can be offered or how much whatever. So, you know, student athletes or collectives or sponsors or whoever can, you know, kind of manipulate that a little bit. I wish we had more regulations for NIL. Transfer portal, I'm also kind of the same. I like it. I like the possibilities it offers, but there needs to be limitations on it. There needs to be, you know, enough. We don't need students transferring 2-3 times.
I think it's just once.
Once is good enough.
That's it. You get one.
Because right now it gives you no accountability, whether to yourself or to another school or whichever. If it's a one-time transfer, you better think really long and hard about that decision.
Right. Again,
rather than, this school is going to offer me more NIL money, I'm just going to go there.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's when they connect.
They're working together now, the NIL and the transfer portal. If you get a whiff of, they got a good NIL structure going on over there. Plus, I don't really like this coach. He's kind of tough on me. I'm out the door. I agree. There has to be regulations. I think it's easier to regulate transferring than it is NIL, because the cat's out of the bag now. Again, I've harped on this for years. NCAA should have got out in front of this 20 years ago. This is where we are. 38 minutes after the hour. Poll question of the day. Go vote. I want to see where you guys sit on this. Again, I posted the options. You know, and people are already like, well, what if you love it? Like, well, then go vote, because there's an option there that says it's good for college sports. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
42 minutes after the hour. We went way long in those first two segments, man, but we're going to have Vic Lombardi coming up next, a good friend of the show from Altitude Radio, Altitude TV. Let's talk about NIL. Let's talk about the transfer portal. So we're going to get Vic on next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 11 o'clock, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline from Altitude TV and Altitude Radio, the one and only Vic Lombardi. Vic, man, thanks so much for giving us some time today, my friend.
No problem, man. How you guys doing up there?
You know what? We're hanging in there. We're talking a lot about this NIL transfer stuff, and I just was scrolling Twitter last night, couldn't sleep, and then I saw you were going to town on some stuff on Twitter, man. And Twitter can be a fun place, but it can be a dangerous and scary place at the same time.
I made what I thought was a pretty innocuous statement that internships are great for our business because it gives you opportunity, and it turned into a political movement that I don't know how I got there. I'm still the problem with me, my man, is that Brady, I can't stop replying if I feel somebody is wrong on a point, if I don't like their opinion, rather than just scrolling past it, I reply to all of them, and it really gets me in trouble.
Well, it's a tree. Then you reply to that one, and then someone replies to your reply to that one, and you got to reply to that reply, and it's a never-ending sequence there.
Yep. That's the nature of Twitter.
Well, and your point, like talking about internships. I mean, we're in the media business. I mean, that's how you get your foot in the door. That's how you do it. And I saw some of the replies to you, like, well, what if you can't afford it? I mean, then you replied beautifully saying, well, then you got to get a different career, man. You got to go do something else. If you can't find the time to be an intern, then find something else.
I mean, I just, I don't know. I don't know what your station does, but like our radio station doesn't offer extensive internships anymore. We have paid interns, like one or two of them, and they're 40 hours a week. They're like jobs. I don't even call those internships. Those are jobs. Those are entry-level jobs, right?
Sure.
In my world, an intern is somebody who gets college credit or can put in 8 to 10 hours a week, come in 2 days a week, whatever, learn on the job, get trained. That's what I did, and that's what I know a lot of people in my shoes, perhaps your shoes, did. Those aren't available anymore. They don't exist. Laws make them very hard to find. And I think that's a disservice to students and college kids. I mean, who knows how many kids up at UNC want to get into this business, and they say, how? You know how many calls I get? Hey, are you guys have any internships? And I say, we don't. Wish we did. We could use them. We can't. Can't find them. So who gets screwed? The kid gets screwed. So is it exploitative? You could say that. You can say it. Everything's exploitative. But you gain something from it if you put the work in, too.
Yeah, and that's where I am. I mean, that's how I started. That's how I know you started. You talked about that as well. And again, if you can't really afford that time, then you probably got to find something else. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. But you were kind of, you know, of course, using this a little bit to talk about how NIL stuff, whatever, college sports, are they exploiting college athletes and stuff? And so with me, I enjoy the NIL stuff. I get the transfer stuff. But I just think, Vic, there's got to be limits on it, man, because I'm looking at Wyoming up north. They got three kids now. They got three kids on scholarship. It's absolutely insane. Yeah.
Well, it's just going to make it a wider gap between the haves and have-nots. That's all it is. Unless there's a booster at a certain place that decides he wants to go crazy, right? He or she wants to spend a ton of money on NIL. Otherwise, you're going to lose your top players. And it's sad in that respect because you work to build and cultivate a program, develop a program. Well, if your kids get too good, like I'll give you an example. If you're coaching at DU, You're the DU men's basketball coach, and I know he's got some good players. How good are they? What if they get too good? What if they get to the point where they're so good that the bigger schools with more money come barking their way? You're going to lose them. And I don't know how you build a sustainable program like that. You tell me. How the hell do you do it?
You're constantly re-recruiting, right? Even in the season, if a guy's playing poorly and he has a bad attitude and you bench him or whatever, we've seen that throughout college sports. It happens even with the best players. That move right there might already force their decision where they're already thinking, hey, I'm out of here at the end. I mean, how do you coach? I text Nico Medved today. I was like, I don't know how you guys do it. I absolutely have zero idea how you do it now. It's tough before. It's difficult now.
There's no easy way, no easy system. I get it. I understand why NIL exists. I know why they're going in that direction. And I'm happy for everyone who's taking advantage of it. But there's always a drawback. And I think we're seeing the drawbacks come to light now.
How do you think you regulate this? Because I think I always thought, you know, 20 years ago this was coming. I thought, man, NCAA's got to do something quick here because eventually it's going to happen, and then they're going to get caught with their pants down, and here we are. I mean, it's the wild, wild west with the transfer portal. Guys are getting crazy deals with NIL. Now those two are working together because, you know, guys are transferring because there's an NIL opportunity somewhere else. How do you even begin to regulate this stuff?
It's a good question. It makes you wonder, what does the NCAA do exactly? If they're not regulating the NIL, what's their role? Just to hold the NCAA basketball tournament and nothing else? I mean, I don't know what else they do. What else does the NCAA do exactly?
I don't know. I don't. So, kick the can down the road?
So if they're not regulating it, who is and how? It's not being regulated right now. This truly is the Wild West, and I wish I were a smarter man to give you a plan on how to do that, but I have no idea. There are too many schools, too many people, too much money being thrown around. How do you track it? No clue, my man. No clue.
Well, and you know, now you're seeing schools start to, not schools, but they're working in conjunction with external outlets that are creating an NIL fund and stuff. But even then, that seems hazy as far as how that's working. You know, you're not supposed to pay them for playing for the team, but isn't that why you're paying them? Like, I don't know how that works.
Well, they started a fund in Texas. Like, you know, I used to work in Austin, Texas, and I know the money that's attached to that university, the University of Texas, they may have the deepest pockets out there. And there's so much oil and gas money down there. So I knew as soon as NIL became apparent, they were going to take full advantage. They've got a pool of boosters who threw some money in. And I don't know how they're getting it across, but you know, they won the sweepstakes to Arch Manning. Mm-hmm. They're going to start winning sweepstakes to other players. You're going to see a big liftoff for UT, and it doesn't always equal success, mind you. Just because you get these guys in there doesn't mean you're going to win. It takes a lot more than that. But the deep-pocketed schools with those boosters who are willing to spend, they have a distinct advantage. I'm curious, like a UNC football player, basketball player, what NIL opportunities exist? Greeley.
Well, and I can only speak from our experience. You know, we do radio shows with these guys.
Sure.
A lot of times they'll want to do, you know, some of them want to get into the media, so they're working right in their field, whatever. You know, I know the guy that just, Andrew Alirez, the national champ. He's making money. I mean, he's getting, there's certain sponsors in the area, certain businesses that will invest in the program. Maybe instead of investing in the program, they're investing in him. But,
well, how do they gain anything from that? If I'm a business and I'm investing in him, what do I get out of that?
I guess it's him going out and tweeting and talking about you. I mean, I that's what I would imagine is basically that he's a billboard, a walking billboard for them.
Okay.
And I think that stuff can be well and good. You know, okay, so for example, with the radio shows that we do, we get Crazy Carl's Pizza up here. It's delicious pizza, Vic. I'm going to buy you some sometime. They sponsor a lot of CSU shows that we do. And basically, the player will go out, go have pizza, tweet about it, get on the radio show, talk about it. So they're kind of doing what we do in a sense, where they're just promoting businesses. But outside of that, I'm not real sure, you know, what that looks like. Are they doing a charity car wash? I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, and that's what makes it so, you know, it's hard to recruit. I mean, you got to recruit in a different manner. You know, it's so funny because the old system was stupid, and the new system has some stupid issues,
right,
too.
Yeah.
There's no real winner here. I remember, listen to this story. Back, it was 98, Northwestern was playing in the Rose Bowl. Gary Barnett was the head coach. They had a running back by the name of Darnell Autry, who was a stud. Okay, they're playing in the Rose Bowl. Well, the week before, they had the time off, and Darnell Autry was the Phoenix from the Phoenix area. I worked in Phoenix. I hosted a sports show for the CBS affiliate out there. I had him on the show. He came to visit, and I had him read a line afterwards, just like the lines I just heard on your show. Hey, I'm Darnell Autry. When I'm in town, I watch Overtime, which was the name of my show. So we ran that. I got a call like 2 minutes after. You have to move that off your television. Mm. We are going to get suspended. He's going to get suspended by the NCAA for promoting your TV station. I go, what? He just did a – are you kidding me?
Right.
Dude, we had to – I had to visit with NCAA investigators. This guy was in jeopardy of missing the Rose Bowl because he did that on our television station.
Wow.
That's how nuts it was back then.
Well, and we've had the same thing. You know, we, like you said, with those rejoins, I've asked if we could have players do it. Now we can have the players do it that we work with, but outside of that, it's insane. I have to get interviews with players through the school, which is fine, but if we work with them on NIL stuff, I get the response back and say, he's your guy. I don't care. Get him whenever. But they can't wear CSU stuff while they're here doing a show. They can't mention CSU. They can't even mention. They can mention the game. They can mention who they lost to or who they beat. But they can't say, yeah, hey, we're proud to be CSU. That part's bizarre to me. And that's why I thought this should be fixed. But now we've gone to the complete opposite side of it where it's absolutely insanity.
Well, I don't know where it goes. I don't know what to do with it. I just think it's fascinating to have somebody step in and try to administer all this stuff is asking a lot. But college sports is changing, will change. If I'm a young college athlete, what an opportunity this is. This is like the hee-haw era, right? you move right in. So, by the way, CSU and Fort Collins, what a beautiful area. Mm. It changed. When I was a kid, man, you go up to CSU, and there was such a long distance between Denver and Fort Collins, and it felt like forever. Now there's so much development between the two, it feels like just a hop, skip, and a jump. So that town, that city, that community, that program, it's like a different world today. And I hope nothing but the best for them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that stadium, Moby Madness and all that. Vic, appreciate you, man. Nuggets tonight, Avs tonight. Jared Bednar got the contract extension. I got about 30 seconds, but that was great. So I was really happy to see Jared Bednar get that.
Yeah, he came on our show yesterday morning and did not reveal it until it was announced, but I could tell he had a more pep in his step. He was very happy, and I said, like, man, why is he so happy? Well, then we found out. Very happy.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
I love it. Vic, man, appreciate you so much. Let's do this again. I know you're pressed for time. We're pressed here. But love what you do, man, and we'll reach out soon, okay?
Brady, anytime, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, man. Vic Lombardi, Altitude Radio and TV. He was in a little Twitter battle last night, so I was wanting to get him on anyway. I want to talk Nuggets with him at some point, Avs, of course. But this is crazy stuff, man. It's absolutely great. So, Angel, do we have a hard out now? Is that right? We're out at 50?
We may or may not have a hard out. I'm going to play you as if we do.
Okay. We're taking a quick break here. We're coming back with the Lunch Rush. Absolutely love it. Vic Lombardi, everybody. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.